This episode of Calling Out with Susan Pinsky is sponsored by Berga Femme.
Welcome to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky, a place where Susan can introduce to you psychics, clairvoyants, past lives, and paranormal experiences. Now, here's your host, Susan Pinsky.
Today, we have a special Calling Out with Susan Pinsky with co-host Psychic Rebel Colby. She's back.
Hello, everybody.
So how are you, Colby?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so good. Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. You too. I haven't seen you since, I don't know, when forever. I was supposed to see you after the New Year, but
yes.
That didn't work out. Had a great time in Vail with my psychic friends.
Aww.
And I really missed you. I wish you could have made it. But, you know, the three of us made it, Khalees and Cindy and I, and we had a fabulous time. And I realized I'm super out of shape and super overweight. But it kind of kick-started me into getting back into it.
Oh, good.
Really good diet and exercise routine. You know, if you ski for a couple of days, it kind of kick starts you again. And so I just, you know, I'm very excited to maybe take off 10 pounds in the next 8 weeks.
Wow.
So, yeah. And, you know, Colby's very super fit and she takes really good care of herself. And, you know, she's spiritual and she's also in shape. She was my guests today are amazing. They were on This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest, and it's Bert and Leanne Kreshner. And that's how you say it, right?
Kreshner. Doesn't matter.
What? Kreischer? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. It's Bert and Leanne Kreischer. And I always get the names wrong because that's my job. And basically, I am a huge fan of Bert's, but now Leanne's, because she is the brains behind the magical man.
Yeah, that's an understatement. She was going to write I wrote a book called Life of the Party. And she was going to write a book called Wife of the Party.
Right. I love it. That's great.
And obviously, you know, Bert is a huge comedian. A lot of people know him. My number one fan, Jason Purdy, he's also a Jason Ellis fan. He mentioned that you were probably one of his favorite comics. And you do have the book, Life Party, Stories of a Perpetual Man-Child. And I kind of listened to one of your podcasts, because you also have a podcast, Bertcast,
yeah,
which I've become a fan of now, and I'm going to be listening to, because I think you're hysterical. You're really interesting and funny. And if you listen to This Life podcast, you're going to probably enjoy it, because he tells all the stories of, you know, these amazing stories about his life. And I can't even tell you how crazy it is, but do listen to that and you'll get sort of a background on Bert. I typically don't tell my psychics who's in the room and what's going on, but we have Khalees Simone calling in, and she doesn't know who you are, what you do, or, you know, they're just going to know that your name's Bert and this is Leanne. Colby's can kind of tap in spiritually. We like to not tell the clairvoyants who it is, just so that if they say something, you're like, hey, you could have seen that on, you know, Google search, or you could have, you know, you just know too much, but they don't know anything really. And I don't know if Colby really knows who you are.
Oh, I don't know, but it is fun that you're, I am super happy that you're a comedic, just because when I was standing, just standing over there, I was like, oh, this guy feels like he should be up on stage doing comedy. And so I'm glad that worked out for you.
And Leanne has a special story about a medium that she experienced. I don't know what it is either, but I want you to share that. But they're a couple, and they have a couple of kids. And Bert is, right? You have
two kids. Yeah, we have two kids.
And Leanne's from the South, and her husband Bert, if you don't know him, is a stand-up comedian and also does a lot of television, and is good friends with a lot of people in the comedy world, and is really funny, really, quite frankly. But the previous show, there was a lot of energy, a lot of laughing, and a lot of crazy stuff. It always kind of tones down a little bit. It gets a little bit deep sometimes on
this
one. This
is going to get deep. I can already tell you.
I do know that you are afraid of death.
Oh. Wait, is that...
Yes.
Clairvoyantly, you know it? Or
no, I listened to the podcast with you and your lovely wife last weekend. She was talking about how you two were talking about how you do fear death. And from the previous podcast, I realized that you are kind of histrionic and you think you're going to die of like cancer or something. So, you know, we're going to blast this into your face and we're going to just like freak you out.
Great.
And,
this is going to be good.
We made Jason Ellis cry, so if we can you cry too.
Really smart that you made him a drink. Really smart. That was very, very smart. That was clairvoyance.
I decided that since you like Tito's and I like Tito's, that I'd give you some of my Tito's. So, so I'm sharing my Tito's with you tonight. And I didn't know it was only 16 calories a shot.
60 calories a
shot. Oh, 60, that's pretty low.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said 16. Oh,
16 damn. Would be a dream.
I think it's called water.
Yeah.
and you lost a bunch of weight, and I'm trying to embark on an 8-week workout.
Do you want me to tell you how to kickstart a diet?
Yes.
Okay. It starts on Saturday. 4 o'clock on Saturday, take a Xanax, okay? And then just relax, have a good night, go to sleep. You're going to feel sleep perfect. You're going to wake up in the morning at around 6, 7, feeling really refreshed, eat an Ambien. Go right back to sleep, okay? Sleep all the way until that evening you'll wake up feeling like, well, I guess you should get something done. That's when you kick in the Tito's and sodas. The Ambien kicks back in. You go back to sleep. Monday morning, you are down 10 pounds, I promise you. And you feel like that's when you want to work hard at a diet, when you've already have a little road under your feet.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. I like that plan. Yeah.
It's not healthy, but...
Drew, who's laughing his ass off. Okay, so, yeah, Drew's here, but he can't have a mic because we don't have enough. So, okay.
You want to shotgun mine with me?
My first question is to Leanne, like, what is your experience with psychic mediums?
Ooh, I'm going to need another drink for this one.
Well, my mom always loved psychics. She visited them a lot as I was growing up, from, I guess, the time I was about 7 for my whole childhood. But do you want me to tell my story?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay, wait. Well, Drew, do you want this? I'm going to give you the headset. Okay.
I'm just saying, I'm making an executive call. I'm putting Colby in charge for the moment to go ahead and do
your thing. What was really crazy is we sat here and I said to her, because she was about to tell this mom story, but minutes ago I said, oh, you know, is your mom in spirit? And she's like, no, my mom's in the living. And I said, are you sure?
Oh, no, we're not sure.
Not emotionally.
And it
she's
just
emotionally dead.
And it just, and I was like,
okay, so yeah. Well, okay, here's, since my husband is producing my show tonight, that's fine.
By the way, I'm going to be producing Leanne's part of the conversation as well, because I want to just chime in. And you're like keeping such interesting secrets away from
everybody. She's a clairvoyant. If you tell her, then it's not, give too much information.
That's clearly, how we have typically no experience. Do it. I was going to let Colby just kind of chime in later as we got into the spiritual side of it. And I have this new sort of format where I like to talk to the guests and kind of get to know them so that, because we usually just throw it in and then everybody has to guess. And it's kind of annoying, I think. I don't know. I'm trying to change it up. But since Drew, I'll let you tell your medium story after the break, after we get into the
That's
reading.
Fine. Sure.
And then, you know, Drew will be happy. And, you know, I love my audience because they keep coming back, but I'm so sorry. I'm apologizing because I was just really excited for you two. I don't know why. This is a big guest for me.
Oh, I'm sitting on pocket rockets and waiting for the flop. I know so much about what's about to go down,
okay.
And it's gonna be good.
Okay, and I went yes. So what I should probably do is bring Khalees on, and let her start, Colby.
Okay,
and then you guys can piggyback and just open up this Pandora's box.
Okay.
I want to shout out to our calling out sponsor, Bergamet, and the product, Bergafem. Whether you're premenopausal or post, have changes in libido, energy, or just low metabolism, or have hot flashes, there's an all-natural solution that can help. It's called Bergafem. Bergafem is a dietary supplement made with organic extracts from the bergamot citrus fruit, which is known to have medicinal properties that can improve cardiovascular function. Also, it can help fight high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high blood sugar, and abdominal fat. But what makes Bergafem different is its combination of natural ingredients specifically formulated for women facing the dreaded menopause. I've been taking Bergafem for over a month now, and I've noticed increased energy and libido and reduction in hot flashes. I've got so much energy, I'm back in the gym and working on my diet. Bergamot is derived from the key extracts of the bergamot citrus fruit. It acts as a natural statin, or in scientific terms, an HMG-CoA reductase inhibitor, and has properties that may lower triglycerides and raise your HDL. There's 47% bergamot, 45% Bulgarian Tribulus testris, and a little Mecca, or Peruvian gold, in there. Sounds pretty hot to me. And last but not least, Damiana. This herb has traditionally been used as an aphrodisiac. Modern research has shown an increase in the strength of eggs in females and helps with anorgasmia. To learn more about Bergafem, please visit our friends at bergamet.com. That's BERGAMET.com today. Or visit drdrew.com and click on the Bergamet Batter today. This is a Dr. Drew approved product. However, you must be sure to consult with your doctor if taking medication. This does not replace medications prescribed by your physician for cardiovascular health. Support the show and get some Bergafem today, or any of the Bergamet products that apply to you if you aren't a woman. Try the Bergasport for muscle recovery, or look at the Mega Plus for heart health. All available at bergamet.com. Hello, Khalees, my little Hi. Ski bunny. Oh my gosh, she was so cute. She took lessons. She skied like 2 times, and you should see how excited she was after a day on the ski hill. She's like, oh, and then I came down the hill, and then I took a bump, and then all of a sudden, Spirit told me I was going to fall. You're next. And then boom, I fell in the snow.
Wow.
I know.
Exactly she, what happened.
Boy, the Spirit doesn't tell me when I'm going to fall. I just catch an edge. Hi, Khalees. It's Colby.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm actually not as injured as I thought I would be. So I'm actually delighted about that as well.
Oh, good. Good.
So we have Bert and Leanne here.
Okay.
And we haven't gotten that much information from them. I know more about them than Colby does, but she's kind of co-hosting. Okay. We're going to let you sort of dive right in and meet them and see where it goes.
Okay, cool. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, Khalees. How you doing?
We're good.
Good. I feel like I need to start with Leanne, and it's funny because what's coming up almost makes me think that I'm reading for Colby, but I'm just going to tell you what I'm getting and let me know if this applies to you or if I've crossed this over. But I keep, and the reason I mentioned Colby is because I just keep feeling like there's a rebellious attitude there. So Leanne, can you relate to feeling like you're a little bit rebellious, or you go against the grain and you kind of just stick to your own ways?
Bert, am I rebellious?
Yes.
Yes, I am. Okay. A bit rebellious.
All right, let me tell you what I'm getting here. So the first thing that I heard was someone, and Leanne, I feel like I'm starting all with you. So the first thing I hear is that you're a bit of a loner, but you have a really good sense of humor and almost like a little bit self-deprecating. And I know that because your spirit guides are saying, here comes the loner. And they're sort of like making fun of you in a way that they would only do that if you could laugh at yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Okay.
If I could just get rid of this part of my body.
The what? Sorry.
If I could just get rid of this part of my body, right here. Just cut it off.
Yeah. And there's this feeling that you're standing really strong and really independent with your life right now. I almost feel like you're doing like something for women's rights, or like standing up for what's right, or animal rights. It doesn't feel like animal rights though. But it feels like you're standing up for something, and that you've really, it's fueled a fire within you that you need to represent this cause. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I'm also feeling that you've been struggling to read certain articles in the media at the moment, and I'm hoping they're not articles about yourself, because it looks like there's negative information in there. But do you understand why that's coming up?
No, I don't.
I do.
Okay.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. Okay, so, Bert, am I with you on that one, the struggling to read the articles in the news?
No, yeah. What, am I just supposed to say yes or no? Or
yes. Well, no, you can kind of.
Yeah. It's so interesting you say that. As we pulled up, I said, you know, I think Drew watched my special with his family. And Leanne's like, great, they know that I farted on your chin.
Well, I just get this you know what? Let me keep going with this, Leanne. I feel like it's something to do with the cause that you're representing and that you're reading about it, and that the more you read about it, the more fired up you get, and then the more that fuels the fire, and then you go and do more work about it. I also feel like the two of you, are you guys okay to like talk about everything?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just assuming you're a couple with what's coming up here, but am I correct in assuming that?
Yes.
Okay, because I keep feeling that there are kids between you guys. And again, I don't know if you're coworkers or whatever, if I'm spilling the beans on something, but I just feel like there's the energy of kids between you guys, and that needs to be a conversation. So I don't know if you need to talk about having kids or if you need to talk about kids that you have, but does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. There needs to be more discussion about that, because there's not enough discussion at the moment. But I'm also hearing everything will be okay. And what's really funny is that I'm seeing a platter of like a fruit and cheese platter and wine. So maybe you need to have a romantic night to yourselves, and then things will feel a lot calmer at home.
She's doing a high five.
That'd be awesome.
Okay, great. But I really feel like there's a lot of happiness in your home. And even though the two of you may have had unconventional childhoods or like not the happiest childhoods, the home you've created now has a really positive energy, and there's a lot of friends around. Even though, Leanne, I still feel like you've got this loner thing going on. Like, people
this
will come over
bullshit.
And you'll be
there's no way. Did you what like what?
Wait, what?
Did you're she, absolutely
and,
right.
Like, yeah, she's
you understand
really
this, right?
Hitting
yes.
it out of the park with Leanne. Don't do me.
Sorry. I have this image of like you guys at home and then friends coming over and then Leanne being like, yeah, I got to go to the kitchen and wash everything.
You know? Are you shitting me?
It's like, just
that's right.
Is this true? Is
yes.
that what happened?
Oh, yeah, she's going to watch you go home and have
it is
sex
her
tonight
biggest,
too.
It is her biggest flaw as a human is when people come over, she cannot leave the kitchen. Like, people come over and go, let us help you with the dishes. And she's like, no. It's her Lowland Scott mentality. It's the way she was raised. If you're not busy and working, you're not worth anything.
But no, she's actually right. I'm very introverted, you know, but I'm extremely social.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though. I have to actually, I want to correct you, but because I feel like I know your wife better than you do. And I'm just assuming she's
that's
your wife.
Very
that just
possible.
Came but what I really felt with this is that it's not so much a work ethic, and I'm going to totally out you on this, Leanne. I feel like it's just because you feel antisocial, and it's like a way of coping with a lot of people being in your home, and so it's just more comfortable to be doing the housework. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So I'm sorry to like reveal that, but at the same time, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
You will become really happy in the future as well as a couple. It's not just like it's happy now. I just keep seeing more and more happiness coming into the home. And there's going to be more money coming in as well. I don't know if there's like a publishing deal or something getting signed.
Triple high five.
Yeah, keep high-fiving. This is good news. But I feel like there's money coming in. Like, I'm seeing gold coins coming in, which is always a great sign. But it's because of a deal or a contract.
Awesome.
Okay, there also needs to be more attention to a book or something written. Leanne, are you left-handed as well?
I was left-handed, but I was forced to change to a right hand when I was a child.
Naturally, you're left-handed because I've got you scribbling away with your left hand, and that's where you're most creative.
That's crazy. Jeez.
You may find that unless you type on a computer, you're not going to get the same kind of creative results, because there's something, and I'm not a neurologist, and I don't know, Drew, you're probably going to think this is crazy, but I'm just feeling that if you write with your right hand, you're using some kind of logical part of your brain. This is what I'm getting from spirit, so I can't back this up with any medical proof. But when you type with both hands on the computer, you've got that added creativity coming through your left hand. And if you do actually write for your profession, that's the best way to do it.
That's very interesting. I can hardly write creatively with my right hand. Handwriting is very hard for me.
Yeah.
It's very true. I have a very hard time writing.
But there's a lot to get. I feel like you're going to tell your story and it's going to be in a book. But in order to get that story out, you're going to have to do it on a computer.
Okay.
Okay. Awesome.
thank you.
But, oh, you're welcome. But I just keep getting you driving and driving and driving. Do you drive a lot?
I have two kids. I drive constantly.
I think she's talking to me.
Oh, are you talking to me?
For Bert. Yeah.
Oh, for Bert.
Oddly enough, I drove today, but I don't drive that much, that often.
But he travels a lot.
Yeah, I do travel fairly often.
I mean, that could be what I'm saying, but I just keep getting you in the car, and what's interesting about it is you're rolling your eyes and checking your watch. So maybe it's just showing me that you're an impatient driver, and that... you know what? Even with all that travel, I feel like you don't want to travel and that being at home is your happy place. So you may want to try and structure your schedule around that to recharge your energy a little bit if you feel like you're just getting a bit strung out with everything that's going on at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
So, Colby, do you have anything to interject about Leanne?
The things I was feeling or getting is like this sense of like I can't breathe. Like there's a ton of anxiety from when you're a kid because it's like you don't have freedom, and it's almost like this. Would you understand like your mom had these like super strict rules in the household for you, and it's almost like I see a priest, and it's there's a feeling of like. There's like not a sense of freedom and almost a sense of being locked away. So do you understand this being locked away?
Yes.
Okay. And I also feel like even every time you would use your voice or something, you would get punished and you would get locked away. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And I keep feeling like there's even, I mean, I hate to say it, but you know when they say the ruler's on the knuckles, but there's some sort of... I don't want to use the word beating, but do you understand that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. And I do feel like, but there's a sense of, so what happens is this social anxiety thing that you start to happen, you are introverted, but that's because you're afraid to be in the energy of other people because you don't always trust that energy of other people. And you're also afraid that if you show that freedom, you're going to get punished somehow. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And I do feel like there's this sense of... now, it's interesting. I am going to go back to your mom. I do know we mentioned she's in the... living still, but there's something where she is just not here, though. I don't feel like she's here. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And it's almost like this sense where I don't even know if you necessarily feel bad about that. It's almost like there's a sense of peace for you saying, you know what, that's karma, Mom. Do you understand that feeling?
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, hold on. This is the only podcast your mom will ever listen to.
You're so right.
Okay. And
oh no,
I have no idea what a shitstorm this is going to be in our lives.
No, it's not. It won't matter at all.
Oh, I love it. I'm glad we can make you laugh.
There's this feeling too where I almost feel like your mom's got this super crazy, like superstition thing happening as well. Where I keep seeing a 13 over and over and over. So I don't know if like. 13. Is there a 13 significance to you? The date of the 13th, or
only that to me, that's a superstitious number. And she was very into like.
Okay,
you know.
So hang on 1 second, because it gives me this feeling of this feeling of like. It's almost like she wouldn't make a decision though without. Consulting. It's like she couldn't make a decision about anything in her life unless she consulted, with I almost want to say a crystal ball, as cheesy as that is. Okay.
She didn't make any decision without consulting a psychic.
Okay. Hey, sounds like
wow.
me.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay. So that's the feeling I was getting. So, which is interesting though, because, you know, as, you know, you almost embrace this logical side of yourself. Like, yeah, you are super creative, like Khalees was saying. I think Khalees is, like, right in that book and everything. I agree with Khalees. That feels completely, completely right. And it almost feels like it's got to come out of you. But
it feels like it is coming out. Like, even when you talk or if you do interviews or anything, it feels like it's already starting to roll out of you.
Yeah, but what's you resort to your logical side because it's your safe side. And so
that's absolutely right.
It's like your comforter. It's your blankie. And so you go, oh, I'm good. I'm just going to get right back up in here. And, all right, it's 8 o'clock. Get up. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. So then you start to want to run the house that way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. 8 o'clock. What is she taking, a Xanax? 5:45, everybody.
So
I don't know. Maybe she's taking your advice and taking that Xanax.
So those were the feelings I was getting. And there's also this sense, did you leave the house really early or something? Because it keeps feeling like once you left, you like didn't go back. Once you left home, you didn't go back.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
There's some sort of, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there's this huge battle. There's this huge battle of you as a kid dealing with this, like, domineerance. It's so much under pressure. So there is that, like, even my throat. And you know, also really quick, though, do you have a man in spirit and he had a heart attack? And because I keep feeling like...
am I going to have a fucking heart attack?
No, I don't think I'm predicting passing. Okay, I feel like this is a man already in spirit for you. So would you understand a father in spirit that would have had a heart issue prior to his passing? You have a father in spirit, right?
No, my dad's living.
Oh, that's so weird. Do you understand a grandfather?
Yes, I know who my grandfather just dropped dead.
Okay, got it. So. Okay, yeah. I do feel like it was a heart attack, and I do feel like there's a sense with him where he was very black and white about things. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Okay, and it was like almost literally black and white, which is very strange. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Okay, yeah. Okay. And there's just this sense where, you know, it's like... That's not calm me down. Snorting. You're just snorting for the record.
Calm down.
That is Bert.
He knows my grandfather too.
That's so okay.
He
knows. Okay.
Oh, sorry. No, Kobe finished.
Okay, really, just real quick though. Did this man's not like a priest or something? Is he? Because I keep feeling ordained, or I keep feeling a sense of something around his collar. Do you know if he wore a uniform?
No, he wore overalls every day of his life.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay. Okay, I wasn't really seeing overalls, though, I'm going to be honest. I just feel this sense of, like...
Was he religious?
No, I don't... Oh, wait, I think he was. Yeah.
What?
No.
Was he what?
Nothing.
Oh, he doesn't want of an organization that's not very politically correct.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Let's not say. I do get it. No, I totally get it. That's exactly.
South.
But that's what I was
he
feeling.
He was a big member of
but
PETA.
But that was that. Okay. that feeling of black and white and that feeling of a strong belief system, and we'll just leave it at that. But that's what it. I was feeling. Okay,
so,
got
it. Okay. Do you have anything else before
Khalees?
Leanne, I keep seeing flowers around you. Do you guys have an anniversary coming up, or did you just exchange flowers or something like that? Do you understand that?
Anniversary was December 27th.
Oh, okay. That's probably why. It just feels like there's a celebration of love, and then we're both going straight back to work, and that it was hard to find time to be together over the last couple of weeks. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, we didn't celebrate our anniversary, and we always do. I think this is the first year we have. Oh. We didn't. So we're too busy.
Make it a priority, because you guys really don't get that much time together. You're both doing very... it's like you both have big careers, but neither of you are doing them at the same time in the same place, apart from today. I don't know how that happened. Do you understand that?
Yeah. Well, we don't.
It's the magic of Susan Pinsky.
bringing lovers together.
Yeah. So Colby kind of went, oh, she kind of freaked out a little bit.
Yeah, because I saw this. I don't know. So I saw this around your grandfather. I saw this ring of fire. And I also saw that 13 come back. So I think that 13 is somehow connected to your grandfather. So you don't happen to know the day he passed, do you?
December 7th. No, 6th. December 6th.
Okay.
This year?
No,
there's a connection to that 13. You'll see.
December 6, 2006. Mm-hmm. Wow. I think that's going to. There's some interesting numbers. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the being closed in and a little bit about your grandfather and what that, how that all.
Yeah. How long's this show?
Yeah. Because this.
Just sort of to validate what they're talking about.
Because that's really strong. Go ahead.
Okay. My parents divorced when I was 7. My mother took me to Atlanta, which is about 60 miles from my dad. She had moved away when I was 4 to become a model. She'd moved to Chicago and left my dad and I. When she came back, she just took me to Atlanta. But now as an adult and having years of therapy, I understand that she had a personality disorder. Mm. And she, I think, was quite sociopathic for details I won't give here, but yeah. I'm happy to tell you when we're not on the podcast. But now as an adult, I could not have a voice. I could not have an opinion that was opposite of hers. She's disowned me 3 times. I haven't had a relationship with her since before we had children. She's seen her children once. She can't have any opposite or opposing opinion to her own. She's on her 6th husband. She, is, I think, ill. As a child, I did get spankings for a lot of things that were crazy. You know, if I didn't have a bowel movement on time, I'd get a spanking. Or I'd be sent to my room, or I had to wear what she wanted. And I've always been a very willful person. So I had a very hard time with that. And so I lived with her until I was 13. At 13, I could choose where I wanted to live.
13! I'm just saying. There's a 13?
Oh, there's 13.
Wow, there you go.
So at 13, I sat on my sat on everything till 13. And at 13, my dad showed up in a moving van and took me, and I never even told her I was leaving. So that was the first time she disowned me, because I was a big fuck you, because I didn't have a voice until I was 13. And then when I moved to my dad, I didn't have a voice in a different way, because I was a girl. And my dad was not married, had never recovered from my mother dumping him. So I became his wife, so to speak, not in any inappropriate way, but in a very oppressed way, where I had to take care of all his stuff. So I went from kind of one lockdown to a different kind of lockdown.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, too much freedom.
One
almost.
Prisoner situation to another prisoner situation.
Yeah, and then reconciled with my mom for a bit in high school, and then the same thing happened again. It's very cyclical with her. It was in a 7-year cycle of this kind of, like, you can't have a voice. And then finally at a certain point I was like, wait a minute, I'm a grown-up. I don't really actually
care anymore.
And I think you may be really ill, so. And I don't want that around my kids. And the sociopathic stuff was a deal breaker.
Wait, can I jump in?
Yeah.
We have not acknowledged the fact that her mom's a psychic.
My mom believes herself to be clairvoyant. She has always believed herself to be. Yes, ma'am?
Sorry, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but before you started talking, I forgot to mention that I felt that you had a strong psychic ability, and you may not want to have any associations with your mother, so I apologize for bringing this up, but that was one of the things I felt when I saw you writing, was this strong psychic ability and ability to tune in and pick up on intuition and intuitive things yourself.
I've always been really, really good at reading people. And being able to suss people out very quickly. I thought that was because of the way I grew up, because my relationship with my mother was so unsafe.
Right.
That, you know, I'd have
to read
her to figure out what to say and how to say it so that I didn't get annihilated.
But it is, you know, a lot of psychics, that gift kind of gets turned on from survival, from trauma. So it was that probably survival mechanism. And remember, psychic is extrasensory perception. Mm-hmm. So your senses have to be heightened, on guard, and that's exactly what happens in survival mode.
Right.
So I think, and then it's a muscle, right? So years and years and years of dealing with that, it definitely, you know, probably turned it on, and it stayed on, and it didn't turn off.
Right. She's told me my whole life I was psychic, that I just didn't want to You deal are. With it. But she is on the psychic network.
Is she really?
Yes, she. As far as I know, wow. I don't have a relationship with her. I haven't. I mean,
I've only met her once.
Once. I mean, I don't have a relationship with her.
She was like, at the end, we went to dinner. We went to lunch, and I was like, and I just started murdering margaritas, which, big red flag for her. And then, but I was like doing it on purpose.
It was a massively uncomfortable lunch.
And then Leanne, at the end, she goes, well, so we'll see you later. I go, no, we won't. I go, I've never met you before. My kids are 7 and 5. I go, I'll never see you again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she just showed up. I went to see her mom, and she just walked in the door and went, hi, guys, it's your nanny. And I was like, haven't seen you in 9 years.
Wow.
I don't,
wow.
You're nobody's nanny at this house, but I'm going to, I reverted back to, I just shut up.
See,
I shut down. And when we got in the car after that whole crazy day, Bert was like, I have never seen you do that before, ever. Like, you completely shut down, because that's how I survived, was to just devoid myself of any person or personality. She's the person who made me change to my right hand. She could not accept me as a left hand.
But she wanted you to be a psychic.
But she wanted me to be a psychic.
That was okay.
She also would say, I think you should be a model. She was the highest paid model in Atlanta for 9 years. Really beautiful woman. And then she would say, you should be a model, but you are so fat. There's no way you could ever do it.
Gosh.
You could be a model for kids stuff, but not what I do. You know, that kind of stuff. And I'd be like, okay, how about I just write? I'm going to just write stuff.
See?
Well, you could do
you
that.
Are. You're good at writing. You should be writing.
When I met Leanne, she was a screenwriter. She had a successful movie that was made, went to Sundance, and then had a deal at Showtime with her writing partner. And then right when we got pregnant, she was doing a pilot, and then we got pregnant, and I told her, I said, you know, very, you know, honestly, I was like, your dreams don't count anymore. No, I'm kidding.
No, my priority shifted.
It literally did.
And then what about the grandfather?
Oh, that guy was a piece of work.
You know what? The only constant I ever had was him.
Uh-huh.
And my grandmother.
Right.
They lived in the same house my entire life.
Yeah.
They were my safe place.
Right.
And all his negativity was our perception of what's negative about his group he was involved in.
Uh-huh.
I never saw.
Okay.
She didn't know about that until very recently.
Until like
none of us knew about
2 years
until
ago.
Recently.
Okay.
But he was probably the closest human I was until I met him, was my grandfather.
Yeah.
He was an amazing dude. He really was. And despite, you know, whatever we're beating around the bush about, he was a really fascinating guy, great storyteller. Everyone loved him.
And he loved me very much.
Yeah.
I never had anybody love me like that guy.
That guy was out of his mind.
Oh. He suffered from PTSD very severely.
He was the first guy in Hiroshima. So that he had to clean up after Hiroshima.
He was there.
So we got a bunch of cancer, and he was a piece of work too. I went on a car ride with him one time. He was like, he just pulled me aside. He was like, let's go get a Dr. Pepper. And I was like, okay. I'd never met him. We got in the car and we drove 25 miles just so we could talk. Take a ride here. And then I was like, we're in like Alabama now. Like, yeah, he was an interesting guy.
You know, my pop you saw was my rock. I mean, all the stuff that was going on with my mom. My dad had a nervous breakdown when my mom left the first time, and then my dad had a nervous breakdown when I was in college, and so.
And I said he was connected to your dad.
He's my dad's dad.
That's what I was feeling.
Yeah, you're
feeling.
Right. You were both of you were amazingly accurate.
Wow.
Yeah.
At what you
Thank
felt.
You.
Amazingly.
Okay, so I think that we could take a break, and then Leanne can come back and tell us her story about the psychics, you know, and then we'll predict whether or not Bert's going to die anytime soon.
I can't wait.
Some light predictions.
By the way, I was in Tanzania, I think I was in South Africa. I was partying with these Zulu guys, and the high priestess rolled bones, and she nailed it. She nailed it. And they have this
I've
herb.
I've seen that before. It's creepy.
And they've got this herb blowing around that gets you a little high. And then she looks at me and she goes, do you want me to roll your bones and see if I see the darkness? And I was like, I am out.
Look, look at the time. Wish I could, but got dinner plans.
Gosh. Okay, so we'll take a break and then we'll come right back. Hey everyone, Calling Out with Susan Pinsky is sponsored by DrDrew.com, and this is where you can find all the other shows I produce, like This Life with Dr. Drew and Bob Forrest and Weekly Infusion. Also find all the shows Dr. Drew has all in one website. We bring it all there for you so you can find it easily. And then also we have everything that you need to know about Calling Out with Susan Pinsky at CallingOutWithSusanPinsky.com. If you want to download the new app, just Google Calling Out with Susan Pinsky app and go to the iTunes link. We sincerely appreciate your support. Okay, so we're back, and thanks for telling us that story.
Oh, and more vodka soda? What did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. One drink more. Is here. If she's going to tell my history, yes. I want to find out sober.
Do you want one too, Leanne?
She's got to drive.
I got
to
drive.
Oh, that's true. Okay. I mean, you know, we do what we can to make our guests happy here. So having that experience as a child, what you had some funny like thing you wanted to tell us about psychic mediums that...
Yeah, I went to a psychic when I was 20. I was really lost. I wasn't happy in school. I just wasn't finding a boyfriend. And I know at 20 that seems ridiculous, but being from such a small town, all my friends were married. Mm-hmm. I couldn't figure out why I wasn't already there, you know? So I went to see the psychic. She read a deck of poker cards. She just shuffled poker cards. What's wrong?
What
is that bad?
No, but when I was talking about the crystal ball, it doesn't count after the fact. That's why I'm going no way. But I was going to say, I just keep seeing like a regular deck of cards, like the ace.
Oh, so
and I didn't. Yeah, I know.
You said
right?
Crystal
Please.
Ball.
Yeah, it's okay. And I said crystal ball.
We believe you.
I was like, I kept seeing the ace. Come
I believe
on.
You. Your reaction's too strong. Not
man.
To like,
but, okay, go ahead.
So
you're already proving yourself. We believe
you. Mom was not your mom. She was your enemy. But I didn't say it because I was like, that sounds weird.
Oh, that's she's not my mom. She was my enemy. Yeah, she pretty much was.
You guys need to stop holding back. Okay, let's go.
Poor lady. But anyway, I went to this psychic, and I was in college at Georgia State University studying finance. Had never been outside really the state of Georgia except to go to the state of Alabama. Had never been anywhere. So just for that point of reference. She said, you're moving to California. Your life's not going to start till you're in your early 30s. Your husband has a crown on his head. I think that means like he's like maybe famous or has some kind of notoriety. He travels all the time. Maybe he's like a pro ball player, but he's really well known and he travels all the time. Your life's not going to start till you meet him in your 30s. Then you're going to have all this happiness. You're going to have a daughter with long brown hair all the way down her back. And I left that reading and went, you're out of your mind. I'm not moving to California. I've never even been out of the state of Georgia. I don't know what you're talking about. So, but then a year or so later, I decided.
Wait, she forgot the part where he's going to get molested by a bear.
She did leave that out.
What?
But I moved to New York, and then I moved to California. I met him when I was 31.
Oh, wow.
I have a daughter with long brown hair down her back, or she doesn't have long brown hair anymore, but for years she had really long, dark brown hair. I can't say what
he's
does.
He's the king.
But he's the king, and, you know.
Hold on.
All those other things
hold
apply.
Hold on.
It's kind
one
of
second.
Crazy.
I'm sorry. Did you say I have a crown on my head?
Oh, my God. You do have a crown on your head.
Awesome. Yeah.
Wait. You have to send me that picture. It's on your book.
Crazy.
It's on the cover of your book.
Wow. That's crazy. Her name was Victoria Weston.
Wow.
Yep. It was amazing. She's still a psychic. She does a lot of corporate consulting as a psychic. And I sent her a message saying, just so you know, you predicted this in 1990.
Wow.
And it was right. Yeah. So crazy.
That's great.
Yeah, it was an amazing story, I thought.
It's awesome when you get a good reading.
I need to go get a reading from her.
Yeah, she was really impressive.
Let's
do
that.
From her deck of cards.
That's great.
She's from California, too. She may be somewhere around.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
so that's and look,
story.
He's the king. All right, so now we're going to tap into Bert, because I think Bert is just waiting. He's got his second drink. He can probably handle it now. Yeah. Now, I remember one time Rebecca told me that when the person getting the reading drinks, sometimes it makes you a little woozy. Does that happen to either of you two?
Oh, me? No. No, no, but if they're...
Oh, no. You go, Colby.
If they have a drink or two, no. But if they're hammered, yeah, I'll feel nauseous and I won't read for them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's not quite there yet.
No, no.
Not even close.
I generally don't read for people that have been
It's no shocker in the Pinsky house is the drinks are light.
That's funny. Yeah, he doesn't make them very strong. Okay, so Khalees, do you have any, can you?
Oh, read for Bert?
Yeah, what do you think about him?
Well, I get a lot of patience with Bert, which is funny because before I saw him driving and kind of rolling his eyes and not enjoying the experience. But I just feel like overall his first reaction in any kind of conflict is to just sit back and let the situation unravel and kind of go, okay. And I actually feel that that's because... And Bert, I still haven't seen you. I don't know what you look like. I'm on Skype here, so I'm just going to tell you what I pick up. I get the impression that you have this inner calmness because you know that if anyone really acted up, you could destroy them physically. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Not that you would, but just that you don't feel insecure, intimidated because you know that you can handle yourself.
I know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, you pretty much do whatever you want, so.
Yeah, no, I know. I know what you're saying.
Okay, cool. The other thing that I feel with you is I keep hearing music around you, so I don't know if music's important in your life, but I keep seeing around your head lots of music notes. So am I correct in saying that you have a strong interest in music?
Yes.
Okay. And that you've... okay, come on. It just said you've been partying since 83.
What did you say?
It's just that I guess I don't really know what that means. You've been partying since 1983?
I've been partying, let me see, 1983, how old was I? 11. No, I mean I've been partying for a very long time, yes.
Yeah, I don't know why I got 83, so just take note of the number 83 because it might relate to something else later on.
Okay.
But I heard been partying since 83 and that you found love in your life now, but there wasn't always that. Like, I do see a lot of heartbreaks up until this relationship, and that this was the one where you really turned around in terms of your life and your personality, and that you knew you were going to be married, like, from the beginning. Is that true?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's okay if it's not, but I just heard that. No, I feel like it is.
No. I've not a good person in relationships. I was just panicky and crazy and not good. And then there was a day, this is the only relationship I've ever been in where I was like, oh my God, it was a moment where I said to God, hey, if you give me this person, I won't fuck it up.
Yeah, but that's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling like all the other relationships were kind of a little scattered around, whereas this one, it changed you. And yeah, it's almost like you kind of grew up in this one and that was the way it was supposed to happen.
100%.
Yeah. I also feel like I want to just bounce a basketball. So do you understand the significance of basketball in your life?
No. Oh, other than I'm going to a basketball game tomorrow.
I can't. Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of around you.
Well, I guess that'll be fine.
Yeah, and I just feel like you're not... the only other thing that's coming through really strong is that it doesn't matter. Like, material things don't matter. You're satisfied. Like, you're not searching and you're looking for answers. You just kind of stayed the same. You'd be okay. Does that make sense?
Say that again, if things stayed the same?
Yeah, like if everything was kind of just the way it is now in your life and that was as good as it gets, you'd be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I'm really comfortable right now.
Yeah, and I don't see that very often with people, especially these days. I feel like pretty much everyone that I speak to, they're always striving for something and going for more and more. And it's rare to find people where they're able to accept that things are actually just okay.
Yeah.
You know, that it's the connection, the family, the friends you have around you, you're fine. You're doing just fine. Now, I feel like there's a reality show around the two of you. I don't know if this has happened yet, but do you guys understand why I keep seeing a reality show that would follow you around in your lives, but particularly Bert?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, yeah. I think, yeah.
Like, it's on the cards. It's been on the cards for a while, but they haven't filmed it yet.
The sitcom we're doing is based, I mean, strictly off my life.
Okay. There will be, just be prepared, there will be shots inside your home. So if you don't want, well, I don't feel you'll be able to not allow that, but I feel that there's going to be cameras in your home, but just around the kitchen living areas. And that may be a little intrusive for you guys.
Yeah, that would be. But I can see, I'd already kind of thought that's where we'd shoot it.
Yeah.
Oh, good. But you'll be Leanne, I bet you're excited about that.
Yeah, yippee.
Yeah.
That's fun, though.
Yeah, but it feels happy. Colby, do you want to add anything?
I think just the kind of things I'm getting is, like, panic.
She's tapping into his anxiety right now.
And I keep getting this sense of, like, a very turbulent adolescence where almost like you're driving fast off the edge, almost trying to look for ways, not to say kill yourself, but you were so not careful in your childhood. Do you understand? Adolescence is what I want to say, you know? It's like a sense of so much worry. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you just have fear of... I'm so afraid of my life. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, you have this fear of your life or,
I don't know.
Fear of life leaving you.
I think that happened recently, more so than in adolescence.
Okay.
But he has such a young spirit, I wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Coming across as adolescent.
It could be something that happened in adolescence and then also is still happening now. Does that make sense for you, Bert?
Not totally. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I feel like, I mean, I definitely had panic attacks when I was a kid that went undiagnosed.
Do you often get like a dry feeling in your mouth? Because that's what I kept feeling when I was talking to you, like this dryness in my mouth and throat.
No. Although I have, lately, like last night on stage, I have been noticing that I've been getting very thirsty on stage.
Oh, okay. I mean, it could just be... like another form of stress, but I worry about
his
it.
His book's called Stories of a Perpetual Man-Child, so maybe that's what she's having.
Yeah.
That was my point, yeah.
That's the adolescence,
that's my
right?
point,
thank
that
you.
He's very adolescent in nature.
If I could add one more thing.
See, I love that about Leanne, because she's like, she can kind of maneuver around the message, so.
Yeah, I just want to add real quick, but that I keep hearing that you are going in a positive direction and no one's going to change that direction now that you're on it and it's been a long time coming. So know that you will be okay and you will be successful in this chosen path because now you've actually found what you've wanted to do.
That is 100% accurate. And I've been saying that out loud a lot lately. Yeah, I had a TV show for 7 years and I just recently stopped doing it.
Yeah,
and I was scared that that this path wasn't that I was like that I missed my boat to go back into stand up, and I have sold out every show I've done.
That's awesome.
So it's been pretty insane.
Yeah, I wonder if the driving I was seeing was going from show to show. Do you have a drive between shows?
Oh God, yes.
Yeah, that's why you're rolling your eyes and checking your watch because you got to be somewhere and you're not enjoying it.
Oh, when we were on the TV show, we were driving every day, like sometimes 8 hours, 6 hours, and it was just fucking making me crazy.
Yeah, but there's a feeling now where it's, you know, even though you're putting that stand-up back out there and you're doing it, there's actually a feeling where you can feel safe in slowing down, not needing to kind of keep going. You know, you may physically be going and physically doing the shows, but you can allow your mind to relax a little and trust that you're going to keep having work. You know, trust that the path is opening up and trust that it's going to kind of keep going longer and bigger for you, you know. And I do feel like there's going to be another book. So it feels like there's a part two to the book you wrote.
Hopefully it's Leanne's book. I don't want to write another book.
Well,
but do you understand why I keep hearing that the work that you do, and I'm assuming this is to do with the content. Oops, spirit. I'm assuming
what
this is
that?
To do with the just background noise.
Okay. It wasn't spirit. Good. I think it's I had that happen once on one of my podcasts. Like a door sounded like it was slamming, and we're like, "Was that a door?" And
they no, go, I think that was a door.
It was.
Was the crypt keeper.
But this okay? The content of your stand-up, I keep hearing that it's bridging the gap between the beginning and the end. There's something that you're talking about in the content of your stand-up that's really striking for people, and it's helping heal people, and it's helping them understand their own life journeys and the stories that they've lived and feeling better about themselves. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah, it does. It very much does.
Like, you've made a really big difference in the lives of these people. You think, like, oh, I'm just entertaining them or whatever, and but it is coming from a really deep place, and the people that hear it, they're laughing.
The secrets.
But they're feeling, it's like they had to hear it.
Tell them about your secrets.
Yeah, I do a thing called Secret Time on stage where I just tell a secret. It's not, it doesn't need to be funny, but the fact that I tell it and I'm honest and I bookend it with Secret Time, and people laugh, but I think a lot of people are like, oh, thank God. Like, I got that. I got that thought, too.
So
like,
tell it. Tell one.
My first.
Yeah, can you tell us a secret?
Yes.
Or maybe Colby and I could guess, but
no, it won't it be
would,
as funny.
If you guessed, I would literally invest all my money in this podcast. One of my secret times is my first wet dream. I was riding horses.
Oh, okay.
I'm not even going to tell you what I saw before.
Well, I saw something with his butthole, so I was like,
oh, Colbs, come on.
But yeah, I'm super, super honest on my podcast and on stage, like brutally honest. No, not brutally honest in like a, but like super, like I'm very, I tell everyone my problems.
I think it's open. You're very open.
Very open. And yeah. So I think a lot of young men who are in transition between being a bro and being a man are like, oh man, that's cool that I can fall in love. Like yeah. I go sometimes I'll ask a kid in the audience, do you have a girlfriend? And he's like, no. It's like, you ever been in love? And if they're like, no, you're like, oh my, like, I don't like make fun of them. I go, oh, I can't wait. You're going to love being in love. It's so much fun. And people are like, there's no funny in this.
But it's like a bit of a mentor in a way.
You know? A little bit,
it's
yeah.
It's like it gives them a little bit of that positive, like, to make things okay.
Well, and right now I went through a big weight loss challenge with my buddy, and it was very, very, very visible to everyone. And it was like a lot of people saw it. A lot of people saw it. And right now, to a lot of people, since I lost so much weight, and so did my buddy, we're inspirations, and they've started weight loss journeys because of us.
That's
and they
awesome.
Tell us, they're like, yeah. they're like
See,
man, I've
you're
lost.
You're helping people, and you weren't doing that on the show in the same way that you can do it now. That's why, this is what you're meant to be doing. That's why you feel so fulfilled now.
That guy just called me, like, right now. The guy,
did he?
His ears are burning.
He's psychic, too.
Yeah, there he's you psychic, go. Too.
There you go. There's also a sense, though, I was telling Leanne, I do feel like you've got some sort of stomach issues that you're dealing with.
I shit my pants a lot.
Oh, that was the butthole, though. Yeah, yes. I did call
shit
out
my pants
the butthole.
A lot.
Yeah, good for you.
A lot. Probably like an abnormal. Like okay. I said it one time on a show, and this woman came up and like, you should probably really see a doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too much hot sauce.
Well, there we go.
I put a lot of hot sauce. I was having really bad stomach problems today
because
I ate a whole jalapeno with my omelet.
So did you get into that MCT oil?
That'll
get you too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you tried that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I started this workout thing with our gym, and they were telling us what to eat, more protein than... do the bulletproof coffee with the butter and the MCT. So I took it this morning.
Oh, you have a stomach ache.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It started
bulletproof coffee.
Yeah. It literally, it was like I was going in for a colonoscopy. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is good stuff. Like, I hope I don't shit my pants during the podcast tonight. Thank God.
Well, you and Bert would be two buddies, right? There you go. Oh. You could poo together.
So glad.
That first day is a woozy.
You no, never know. We might get Pampers as a sponsor.
Yes.
Depends. Yes. Depends.
Yeah. Depends. There we go.
No, but Bert has some pretty funny secrets.
Dying?
Let me tell you.
Die?
Yeah,
yeah. Bert, what's Bert going to die of?
No, oh,
I'm actually kidding. We're not.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, no.
She's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't get on that plane tomorrow.
Yeah.
He has like an OCD when he gets on planes. He has to go through the same regimen every day. So he's like super scared of dying in an airplane, which, you know.
I think everyone should be.
Nah.
But like, I guess, and I mean, I'm just afraid of dying. I don't want it. I got FOMO. I'm afraid of missing out of the party.
Really?
So, yeah. And that's the only reason I don't want to die.
That's what keeps you alive. That's important.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You should be afraid. Everyone needs to be afraid of dying.
Oh, I'm not afraid.
I'm not either.
No, God, that's... Really? I would hope not.
I'll finally get the rest I need.
I told you, Lee.
I mean, if it's the right time, I'm not dead inside, but I'm not in a rush.
I'm far from dead inside, but I am not afraid to die.
My dog just showed up. So, yeah, and I've learned from this podcast that there is life after death. So maybe you just don't feel that, and it makes it more scary.
I think I have pedestrian cafeteria faith, meaning like I wear the medals, I do the things, but like sometimes I literally sit there and I go, but do I really believe? Like, because Christians kind of drive me nuts sometimes. Like when I hear them say stuff that I go, come on, man, don't act like that. Like all my friends that I grew up with are all Christian now, and I just go, come on, like really?
But you don't have to be a Christian to have faith or to believe.
Right.
But I'm not going to church all the time.
Things are as they should be.
Right, yeah.
Things are as they should be. Then you don't have to be a Christian to believe that. I believe that because I believe I am exactly where I'm supposed to be and that I went through all that stuff in my childhood to be this person. Mm-hmm. So I believe that 100%.
Me too. Yeah. I was a poor black child.
You look great.
I know. I had it all redone. No, I think you're, as you hit middle age, and you're not quite there yet, but you start looking at the next 40 or 50 years and thinking, okay, then what's next? What do I need to do? And it does get scary. I mean, you think, I mean, I'm moving up there too, but if you have faith that there's something better or it's not going to end when you die, then it's actually a lot easier to handle.
Oh, well, now we're going to find out how crazy I am. I believe in time travel. I believe that you die a million times and it's just parallel universes, but you never actually die. I'm hoping.
I believe that too, but not the part where you never actually die. But I do believe that there are parallel lives that continue after you transition in other lives.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's hard to explain,
I will be drinking at dinner tonight. This is all the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night.
I think after this, I'll be drinking at dinner too.
I know, me too. Me too. We can all do that together. Yeah. And it's nice that you're open to this process because a lot of guys are like, oh, this is bullshit.
I don't think so. You say that all the time. And I have to tell you, I have a lot of male clients.
No, we're getting more male listeners and stuff, especially after we made Jason Ellis cry. And, you know, I mean, there's been a few things. Like Colby came in and she just like went right into, tapped into his brother who passed away. Mm. And he was so emotional about it. He got so pissed off that he was going to beat everybody up in the room because he thought we were punking him. And then last week or the last show, Khalees came on. I don't know if anybody noticed this, but we were with Deborah Tate, who's Sharon Tate's sister, because Manson was in the hospital. So we thought, oh, we'll just tap in and see if the motherfucker's going to die. So we don't care if he dies. I don't care. I know everybody else wants to shed a tear, but I don't. I think it would be a wonderful way to start the new year.
Yeah.
But anyways, Khalees called up and said, she goes, oh, yeah, you know, I see pain in the stomach and I see the cops or something about the cops. Can I say the word cops, which is sort of a 60s thing? And she goes, and I'm hearing a Beatles tune. And I was like,
are you shitting me?
I know, but we were all kind of like, yeah, we know, you're right. Okay, let's move on. But what we didn't tell Khalees was, yes, you're spot on. I mean, Helter Skelter was his theme song, you know, for his cult. And then he had, you know, obviously Sharon Tate was murdered. She was stabbed in the stomach and she was pregnant. And, you know, she was just right on. She just gave us a phone call and tuned right in. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. I mean, if there's not something out there that is giving us this information or protecting us or helping us understand it, then where's it coming from?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, your grandfather is looking over you. He probably, he cares a lot about you. And, you know, in heaven, he's probably not into the same life experiences.
I don't think he was for years and years and years.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, listen, we all have our political views or whatever. We do whatever.
Well, and I think for him and at that time and in his place, that they wouldn't have understood. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all learn and grow and evolve in our belief systems.
Right.
And I think at that particular, in his particular situation, what he was believing in was the norm.
In that area.
He didn't, you know what I'm saying?
But, yeah, it was. But he didn't educate you about it because he wasn't like, he wasn't running around like a born again Christian going, come on, I got to do this. You know, it's, I mean, the kids weren't educated. So, but I do think that, you know, since you were close, he came right through.
Yeah.
And he had to
make sure. Like, hi.
Yes. He was a fascinating guy.
And I believe the only reason I am who I am is because I had some really powerful things watching over me.
Yes.
In a lot of my life. Even past my childhood and my early adulthood, I had
spirit team
all over me. I've always thought that because there's no way I should be as healthy mentally as I am. There's just no way.
So did you ever... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, but let's also clarify what you were saying, Susan. You know, that death is a transition. You don't disappear according to my belief system and, you know, the work that we do as mediums. But at the same time, none of us are really in a rush to die. So I don't know if you could call it fear that keeps us alive or just, you know, the desire to be alive. But right. I really, it's what you said, you know, when you die, you do transition over. You get to stay with your loved ones. You get to watch over them. But at the same time, I'm personally in no rush to get.
Uh-oh. We lost you. Somebody's... Did you guys hear that?
Mm-mm. Yeah, okay. She's starting to cut out. It was
cutting
out.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, which part did I cut out?
The very end.
Or maybe Leanne.
Oh, I just Bert's said I'm in no rush.
I'm not sure.
Oh, geez.
Give me a minute. Maybe at the end of the show, I'll do that.
Yeah. That's our closer.
Never mind.
As a special bonus for listening to the podcast.
Yes.
We have parts on my chin.
Exactly. It's my special talent.
It was a joke because Drew had told them that my entire family watched his special, and Leon was sort of worried about it. So it was funny. Okay. My kids love you, Bert, and
thank you.
You know, you're the machine, and definitely the machine.
Yeah, I feel like that's a transition part of my life, is that I'm this crazy wild party animal, but the majority of my stand-up right now is about my girls and about being a father, and these crazy travel stories I have or these crazy stories I have are incorporated in, but it's all meshed up. I don't know where I'm going in my life. I feel like I'm in the right place. I feel like I'm going in the right direction. I feel like I'm not rushing it. I don't feel like I'm in a hurry. For the first time in my adult career, I'm like, you know what? I'm really cool. Like, I want to do my podcast. I want to do my stand-up. Like, if stuff come to me, like, it's the first time I've ever turned anything down. I've never turned anything down in my career. And now I'm turning stuff down going, I don't think I want to do a game show.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Well, Drew does, so could you send
Does he want to do
way?
A game show?
Sure.
He'd be a great host.
He'll do anything. He's such a
I always keep – I've been telling him since the day I met him, I saw him being the host of a show, like a game show or a dating show. I keep seeing him be the host of it. I really do. I can't wait for that to happen.
What about the Dr. Drew show?
That's done.
What about
what you saw maybe?
No, I saw Alec Baldwin. Is it Alec Baldwin?
Yeah.
Like something like that. Where
no, Alec,
he's,
Alec Trebek.
Trebek. No. The Match Game.
Oh, the Match
Game. Isn't that Alec Baldwin?
No.
Yes, it is.
I think they came out with a new Match Game.
There is.
It is Alec
it
Baldwin.
Is
Alec
it is. I'm not crazy.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That bastard. He doesn't need another job.
So it's like something like that. Or,
share the
or,
wealth.
You know, or the dating game.
I think he'd be great at Jeopardy.
Because
he's so smart and he's so, like, you know, dry. He could do it.
What about the Newlywed Game?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I loved that
game. A dating
game,
like a dating game, or the you're saying, the match game, something like that. He'd be a great host.
Yeah, wow. I think he would.
Mm-hmm. So, where's your next stand-up, Bert? What are you doing? Where are you going next?
I'm in Boston this weekend at the Wilbur Theater. I think that's by the time this airs, it'll be sold out.
Yeah. Wow!
And then Buffalo. And then we're going.
Are you going to come to New York City? I want to come see you.
I was just there. I was just there, I think last week, 2 weeks ago. I was just there.
He'll be there again.
But actually, I'm sorry to interrupt. Who are you guys?
Oh,
I'm sorry. My name's
Bert. No one's actually told me yet.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You introduce yourself because I keep saying your name wrong anyways.
My name's Bert Kreischer. I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm a travel channel. I was a travel channel host for 7 years. I have a podcast. I wrote a book called Life of the Party in 1996.
That's why I saw you partying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Partying.
That's 1983.
I've been partying aggressively since 1995, meaning like. Ooh.
Spirit says 1983.
Well, you know what's so funny?
Maybe Spirit's picking up on me.
I'll tell you what.
Because mine started in
1983. I turned 11. 11's my lucky number. My special came out 11-11, 11-11 on November 11th.
Wow.
And I remember the year 11 because that's when I got my teeth knocked out with a baseball bat.
Nice.
But I didn't party because of it, but I did get my teeth knocked out on my birthday. I think that's it about me. And Leanne's my wife. All right, so no.
I am right now wife, mom.
There you go.
I was a writer for years.
You are a writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to get back to writing because that's where the big money's coming. Let's do it.
Well, don't you guys work together too?
Sort of.
She runs.
She like runs your. She books your air and stuff.
Yes, I do his podcast, but I was his business manager for years until about a year ago. And then there was just too many moving parts.
Yeah, it's hard.
I didn't understand. You know, so much out of state work.
You have to have a manager too.
It's so funny crazy. We're talking about this because, you know, we just renovated our house and Leanne did an amazing job, basically, what would you say, formatting it.
Yes,
like project managing.
Project managing it, and at the end she was like, I said, what are you going to do when this is over? And she's like, she looked at me dead on. She's like, I know, I'll have no purpose in life.
I have no purpose.
When you run out of money, it's so sad because you want to do more. It's so fun.
Yeah, and so it I think fun. Now this, hopefully this will inspire her to.
What's so funny is I've been writing in my head a lot lately, and I have so many times said, I got to write a book. I got to write a book. And I never start because of what you were talking about as I go into the logic of, but it's pickup, it's drop off. I got to do laundry. I got to figure out dinner. I need to go to bed.
Well, maybe a podcast would be better because do books make money?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Not the way they used to. It's very difficult to make money as a book. But a podcast, I've always told her. She should do a podcast.
And I go into the logic. It's too hard. I don't know how to work the
equipment. Why would anyone want to listen to me?
No one wants to listen to me. Who listens to me? What do I have to say? I don't have anything to say. You know?
There was a period where I tried desperately to get her and her friends to do a podcast. What I wanted to do, I did one myself with them, to do a book club podcast where they review a book every week and people can read with them.
Right.
I tried to get... Oh, yeah. She's got one friend who's out of her mind, crazy, hilarious. And I tried to get them to do a podcast about just gossip and whatnot, but you know, it's very difficult. It's as everyone here knows, it's very difficult to do your first podcast.
Yeah.
Once you get them up and running, you're like, come on, we got to do one Tuesday, and you don't worry
about
it.
Well, you do all your own, right?
I do everything.
So that's impressive.
I post.
How many shows do you have? Like 200?
215 right now.
See, that was a good guess, wow. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm not psychic either.
Yeah.
I just saw the iTunes, but no, you do it alone, and it's not that hard, but if you want to make money, you can, you know, do it in podcasting.
Yeah.
It's easier. Books are okay, but books kind of put you on the map if you want to like go out there and do the, you know.
I'll tell you what, a book's a lot of work and
so much.
And the
Colby has a book.
I wrote a book too. It's a lot of work.
What's it called?
Isn't it?
I forgot.
Leap of Faith.
Oh, that's
build
right.
Your spiritual Sorry. Business.
Ooh,
I like
that's
that. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, you know,
I used to be a tax accountant for 14 years.
Did you really?
Yeah. And before I made this transition. And so I wrote a book to help other people who want to build their business understand the kind of business side of it.
Right. That's great.
Yeah. Thanks. But, you know, even book companies are getting out of the business because it's just hard to make money. So, I mean, if you're doing it for yourself just to do and it means something to you, but you can also write for other people. I don't know. You have kids. You have young kids right now.
Maybe
so
you should
ghostwrite
a book for me.
I don't know if I can pull off your voice, but
I'll just tell you the stories
you have a very
and you write
specific,
it down.
That's called a stenographer.
Yeah, stenographer. Stenographer, my
I'm not into being
court
a stenographer.
Court reporter,
thank
maybe.
You. Thank you.
For a couple
I'll
of
speak,
stories.
Yeah, right? I'll speak my stories to you in bed.
Yeah, no thanks.
And you take notes.
Yeah, no thanks.
Oh, great.
No thanks. One more thing I have to do for you. That sounds amazing.
Well, if you guys want to know where to find Bert and Leanne, probably backstage. He has a website, BertBertBert.com. That's with an E. And then his BertCast is his podcast, which is on iTunes.
Yep.
And on his website. Like, you know, just go to his website. You can see where his dates are. He's all over the country. Super, super funny. And
I'll tell you what's really great. And I say this to your listeners. It's an app I'm using. It's called Laughable. Uh-huh. And it is phenomenal.
Really?
It is. And, I,
so
and I'll
you
tell
can
you
find what's local?
No. What it is it organizes the talent that you like, and it shows you all the podcasts they've been on.
Oh, that's great.
Yep, all the podcasts they've been on, and all and their podcasts as well. So, like, I've been on Rogan like 20 times. Uh-huh. It shows you all my Rogan appearances, Ari, Church of What's Happening Now, Dr. Drew, at, like, all the stuff we've done, and it's really fantastic. So, if you go, check out the Laughable app, and you can find everything I've ever been on, and I think I'm a better guest sometimes than a podcast host.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And so you can find the one I was on with Drew and Bob.
Well, Drew's going to come on your podcast.
I know.
So that'll be fun for you.
Yeah.
He's a great guest, too.
He's fantastic. I've been a fan of his for a long time.
I know. You were on Love Line many years. He probably helped you create some of your stand-up.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, hey, that's funny. Tell it again. So now, I've become a fan, and I appreciate you guys coming on and doing this and opening up. But we didn't have any spirits around Bert. That's kind of weird. Like, no dead ancestors flying around.
Well, I think we just weren't tapping.
That's
weird.
We
can have a look if you want.
They just weren't knocking at the door too much, but it's interesting.
Any dead people? I've been pretty lucky in life.
Yeah.
That's the other thing is my energy reads super positive. And, like, I am the luckiest human being you'll ever meet, ever, ever in your life.
See? Okay. Then that's why. I mean, you know, the minute we turn off the mics, though, some dead grandpa or mother will show up. So,
grandma.
So, anyways, just you guys check out his tour dates, and when the sitcom starts, definitely tune in, and also tune into This Life. Bob and Drew were laughing their ass off. He was so funny. He's very open about his life, and I really enjoyed spending the last couple of hours with you guys.
Thank you for having us.
And you know, we have a different energy here. We're just a little more like. We're a little bit more laid back and mellow. So
I like this. It's so funny. I think this is something that I would love to just go through your catalog and find the guests and just like eavesdrop.
I've had some good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a lot of dud celebrities here too.
A lot of dud?
Dead celebrities.
Oh, dud celebrities. I mean,
I've had Robin Williams, I had Michael Jackson.
Really?
If you go through my you might have to buy the app though. It's $1.99 for all my older catalog. So until next time.
Yes, until next time. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and very much. And good luck with everything.
Thanks for listening to Calling Out with Susan Pinsky. Follow Susan on Twitter or Instagram at First Lady of Love. And check callingoutwithsusanpinsky.com for all the latest info and links to our cast of clairvoyants.
Sometimes my heart don't listen to me. I know I'm not blind, but it's hard to see.
alright. Oh, it's alright, it's alright, it's alright.